God, you're worthy of all of our praise. We pour out everything that we have to you, for you're worthy. You sent your only son, Jesus, to this earth to live, to die, and to resurrect again. And it's because of what Jesus has done that we have nothing else to give but our praise. God, we pour everything that we have out to you this morning. God, we ask that you would transform our hearts, that you would change who we are. God, we love you. You are worthy of all of our praise. You are faithful. You see us. In the middle of the struggle, God, would you meet us where we are this morning? As we lay it at your feet, it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys for being here this morning. My name is Jacob. I get to be the student pastor here at Grace River. And before I jump into today's message, I want to give a special shout out to the veterans that are in the room. Let's give it up for the veterans that are here this morning. It's Veterans Day weekend. If you are a veteran, if you have served this country, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. It's because of your sacrifice and the things that you've done for this nation that we're even able to meet freely within this space. And so we thank you for the sacrifice and the commitment that it takes to serve this country, the time that it takes to be away from your families. It does not go unnoticed. And so we not only remember you this weekend, but we remember you every day of the year. Thank you again for the things that you have done for this country that allows us to have the freedom that we have today. Again, my name is Jacob, and I get to be the student pastor here at Grace River. And today we are in week 5 of our sermon series called Bless. If you've been here over the last few weeks, then you kind of know the direction of which this sermon has gone. We've simply talked about how it is that you can bless the people that are in your life. This is a form of evangelism, and what we're trying to do is to help you understand that blessing people really isn't all that scary. So if you've been here over the last few weeks, I hope that you've taken something away from this sermon series. But if you haven't, I want you to know that you're not too late to the party, all right? Today is a great day to join us. We're going to be talking about the last S in this BLESS acronym, which stands for sharing your story. And I'm super excited about today's message. I've been praying this entire week that it would speak volumes in your life. That you would have a next step to take, that you would not only recognize what that next step is, but that you would have the courage to take it. Because here's the thing, we all have a story. Every single one of us in this room has a story. And the challenge for us today is like, let's leverage your story in the name of Jesus to the people that God has placed in your life. I could just walk off stage and that could be it, but I'm not gonna do that, right? We're gonna get into the details of what that looks like, but the significance behind story is that story is how we're wired. You and I are not just robots, right? Thankful for that. I'm glad you're not a robot. I'm glad I'm not a robot. We're not robots. We're people of story. We have hearts. We have emotions. And story connects heart and emotion, the good, bad, and the ugly. Story is how we relate with one another. Story is how we remember. Story is how we make sense of this life. And so I just wonder if you would leverage your story in the name of Jesus, like what he could do with it. Can I lean in for just a moment and tell you that God wants to use you and your story to make an impact in somebody else's life that could eventually lead to life change, to their lives literally being changed. God wants to use you, yes, you, the one that feels so unworthy, the one that had a regrettable Saturday night, but you're here. Like, God wants to use your story to advance his kingdom. I hope and I pray that you really believe that. No matter how imperfect you may feel, God wants to use you. It's throughout this series that we've been talking about how it is that you can live on mission in everyday ways. And so the five things that we've talked about over the last 5 weeks. Week one, we talked about beginning with prayer. We recognize that as followers of Jesus, everything begins with prayer. The second way that you can bless people is through listening, right? Some of you are better listeners than others. Some of you love to talk. Who is it in the room? Okay, you guys, 8:30 was a lot more lively than you guys. All right, that's great. That's awesome. I never thought I'd say that, ever. Because the 8:30 service, it feels a bit like robots. I'm joking. Another way that we get to bless each other is through eating together. When you eat together, it tears down the walls. Another way that you can bless people is through serving one another. If it means buying somebody's coffee, if it means taking out the old lady's trash down the road from you, right? These are ways that you can bless people in the name of Jesus. And then today we're going to be talking about maybe the scariest one for you, which is sharing your story. I would tell you that maybe sharing your story is scary, but it's also, of the five, I believe that it has the ability to have the greatest impact. Now, we're not singling out, we're not siloing these 5 weeks, right? We really believe that when you do all five of these things, that's when you bless the people that God has placed in your life. And so I don't want to say that this week is the most significant, because I really believe that all five of these, they really work together to make an impact in people's lives. But in the Blessed book, if you were here 5 weeks ago, whenever we started this series, there was an opportunity for you to get a free Blessed book. I don't know, by this service, they might have actually all been gone. We gave away 100 copies of that Blessed book. And if you didn't get a copy of that, I want to encourage you to go to Amazon and buy that. That's what the entire framework of this sermon series has been about. But Dave and John Ferguson, they say this line that I think is so powerful. People are far more interested in your story than in your theology. People are far more interested in your story than in your theology. And this hit me because I believe that evangelism is so much more than standing on a street corner yelling at people until you're blue in the face, telling them to repent because they're filthy, rotten sinners and they need Jesus. You've all seen those people, right? The people that stand on the street corner and you're just like, dude, you're an embarrassment to followers of Jesus. Like, I don't want to associate with you. Whenever I was in college, I thought that I was better than I actually was. And I thought that I could go up to those Springfield street preachers at downtown Springfield that are cut from a different cloth, mind you. They are built different. And I thought that I could change them. I thought that I would change their mind in making them believe that this is not the most effective way to reach people. As a matter of fact, I don't think that you're doing anything effective. I think that all you're doing is making a bad name for Jesus. And they made me feel like an absolute dummy head, and so I just walked away. I was just like, okay, not that good, actually. But I believe that evangelism is so much more than standing on a street corner yelling at people until you're blue in the face. I would actually ask this. How many of you guys have ever been converted through that? Like, you have put your faith and trust in Jesus because of somebody standing on a street corner. Nobody, right? But this sermon series is so much more than evangelism. We're talking about blessing people. This is a form of evangelism. When you bless people, when you do these five things, what you're doing is you're making a spiritual statement in these people's lives. But over the last few weeks, we've also talked about the Francis list. Actually, mind you, let's back up here for just a moment. When you bless people, when you share your story with people, you're simply sharing with others what God has done for you. That's all that you're doing. And when you go to Acts 1:8, Jesus says this, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. If you're taking notes, if you have a physical Bible, maybe you are using the YouVersion Bible app, maybe you're just taking notes, I want you to highlight, underline, put a booger by this word, witness, all right? It's so important that you know the significance of this word witness. A witness testifies to the things that they have seen and experienced. Can I tell you, that's what happens when you share your story. You share the things that God has done in your life, the things that you have seen him do, the things that you have experienced. Again, over the last few weeks, we've talked a lot about our Francis list, and I don't know if you guys have noticed, but Pastor Chris, he loves acronyms. That's why we use the BLESS acronym. That's why we use the Francis acronym, because I don't know why. I hate acronyms, but he loves them. So we're doing BLESS and Francis, and we should come up with a third one. I don't know what the third one's going to be, but we should come up with something. Francis list stands for friends, relatives, acquaintances, neighbors, coworkers, enemies, and strangers. God has placed your Francis list, the people that are in your life on purpose and for a purpose. Jesus says in Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. You don't have to go looking for a mission field, you're standing in a mission field. Follower of Jesus, Christian in the room, you don't have to go to the other side of the world to look for a mission field. Your Francis list is that mission field. And I will say, foreign missions is a great thing. We just had a missions team of 17 people get back last night at 11:30 from the Dominican Republic. Pastor Paul led that. Let's give it up for them. Way to go. I think in the coming weeks, we're gonna hear, maybe next week or the week after that, we're gonna hear some stories of how that trip went, but foreign missions is a great thing. It's what I have my degree in. I literally went to school. I devoted 4 years of my life to become a missionary. I believe in missions work. I believe that there's power in that. But I'm gonna also tell you, not every single one of you in this room is gonna go to Africa, is gonna go to Guatemala, is gonna go to China. That's not the reality. So let's make this applicable to all of us. You, follower of Jesus, Christian in the room, your mission field is your Francis list. You don't have to go searching for people to share the hope of Jesus with. God has placed those people in your life already. God has placed you in the middle of your workplace, in the middle of your neighborhood, in the middle of your friend group on purpose. The question that I have for you today, will you share your story with the people that are already in your world? Will you have the courage to share your story with the people that God has placed in your life on purpose? Now, your story isn't something that has to be complicated. I want to set the scene here. Your story is something that you know better than anybody else in this room. I don't know your story better than you know your story. But again, I think that for a lot of us, we hear this idea of sharing our story with the people that God has placed in our lives, and we're like, whoa, that's incredibly difficult. Like, I can pray for them. I'll invite them over to my house. I'll serve them. I'll take out their trash for them. I'll do all of the things, but you want me to share my story with that person? That feels a little awkward. I don't really even know my story. I'm like Moses. I'm not very good with my words. And we begin to come up with all of these excuses. What I want to do is I want to simplify your story. And I want to remind you, your story is something that you know better than anybody else in this room. Your story consists of three different things. It's your life before Jesus. Who were you before Jesus? Were you some filthy, rotten, crazy person? I don't know. Who were you before Jesus? Think about that for just a moment. Is it something that is kind of shameful? Is your life before Jesus really not all that crazy? Like, what is that for you? And then the second part of your story that I want you to think through is that moment that you gave your life to Jesus, your encounter with Jesus. And for the Christian in the room, I think that one of the best things that you can do for your faith is to come back to that salvation moment constantly. Because I think that for the people that are in the room that would say, yeah, I'm 40, 50, 60, 70 years old, and I gave my life to Jesus 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago, we've become kind of complacent in our faith, and we've become lazy, if you will. I think that one of the greatest things that you can do is to think back to your salvation moment. Who were you? How on fire for Jesus were you? When you gave your life to Jesus, man, nothing could get in between you and God. I have to constantly remind myself of that moment in my life. And then the third part of your story is your life after Jesus. Who are you now? Who's the person that you've become? How are you different? Can I just be honest with you guys for just a moment? If you reflect on your life now and it's the exact same person that you were before Jesus, you may have never given your life to Jesus. Because when you give your life to Jesus, he transforms you from the inside out. You are a new creation. You are not the same person that you were before. Some of you are like, yeah, my life is pretty similar as to what it was before. No! You ought to look different. Not for the sake of looking different, but because Jesus has changed your life. Can I tell you, Jesus has changed my life. I'm not the same person that I was before. And so I want to share my story with you. And I want to do this for two reasons. Because as I mentioned before, you might be able to relate to my story. Remember, we are people of story. It's how we are wired up. It's how we relate to one another. I was just talking to somebody in the 8:30 service, and they were saying, hey, your story is so similar to mine. Maybe that's the case for you, and it would help you along in your journey. That's the power of sharing your story. But also, I want to do this to show you that it's really not that difficult. You can do this. I think that for some of you, you may think, yeah, you're standing on a stage, of course you know your story. No, you, if you are a follower of Jesus, if he has changed your life, you have a story and it's worth sharing. I want to encourage you to have the courage to share it. Because you were once dead, but now you're alive. And I'm not saying you were physically dead. I'm saying you were spiritually dead in your trespasses because of your sin. But it's because of what Jesus has done for you on the cross that you have been made alive. And so my story goes as this. I started going to church in the third grade. My friend Chris Mata, my neighbor at that time, he invited me to church. And he had promised me that there was going to be donuts and the girl that I liked. And so I said, deal. That sounds like a pretty good bargain if you ask me. I'll go to church with you. And then fast forward to fifth grade, I went to church camp, and it was at church camp that one of the leaders there sat down with me at my bunk, and he shared with me who Jesus was and what he had done for me. And for the first time in my life, that head knowledge that I had connected to my heart. And the truth of who Jesus was literally changed me. I put my faith and trust in him, and I came back from church camp, and I made the decision to get baptized. And at my baptism service, it was the first time that my parents had ever come to church. And shortly thereafter, my parents gave their lives to Jesus. And then a few months after that, they were also baptized. And then you fast forward to my sophomore year. After I finished my sophomore year that summer, I had went back to church camp. And I heard a message from Dr. Mark Milioni, the president of the school that I had attended in college. And it was then that he was talking about surrendering your life to full-time ministry. Now, what that looks like is me just simply doing this as a career, ministry as my job, as my profession, full-time. And I had made that decision to surrender to full-time ministry as a sophomore in high school, but like a lot of high schoolers, I had drifted. I had drifted from that calling that God had placed on my life because of the friends that I had. I talk to my students all the time. I feel like I'm blue in the face whenever I talk about friendships because I see just how significant friendships are in student culture and even in adult culture. But I had surrounded myself with the wrong type of friends. And me and my five closest friends were going to move to Arizona. And we were going to go to technical college and live the American dream, making buku's amounts of money as I was gonna be a diesel mechanic. Don't laugh. You're looking at me and you're like, what? Wow, that is rude. You're like, Jacob has cut jeans. Why would he be a diesel mechanic? Don't judge a book by its cover, okay? I know a few things. Some of you, you're judgmental. You need to get your heart right. But that's what I was gonna do, believe it or not. I was really weird in high school though. So you would have looked at me in high school and be like, yeah, that guy's definitely gonna do that for the rest of his life. I'm not saying that diesel mechanics are weird. Ian's in the back and he's like, bro, what the heck? He's like, that's me. All that to say, I was gonna become a diesel mechanic living with my five best friends, and I can confidently tell you, I don't know this for certain, but I probably would have walked away from my faith. I still follow those friends on social media, and I see the life that they live. And I'll tell you, it would have been really easy for me to follow in the same footsteps as them. I probably would have walked away from my faith. But by the grace of God, I made this decision to go on a missions trip to Nicaragua as a graduating senior. And I went on that missions trip, and it reminded me of the call that God had placed on my life. And shortly thereafter, I applied for Bible college 3 weeks before the semester started, and I had went to Mission University, formerly known as Baptist Bible College, and that's where I met my wife, Hannah, and we got married after I graduated, and now we have a three-month-old named Nash, and I'm literally living in the days that I prayed for. I'm living in the calling that God has placed on my life, and my entire family is following Jesus. My brother, I got to baptize him last year, and I would tell you, I had given up hope on my brother. I had given my life to Jesus. My parents had given their lives to Jesus. And then there's my brother. He's the black sheep of the family. And I'm like, I don't know if this guy will ever give his life to Jesus. He is really far from God. But it's because of the people that God had placed in his life and through the influence that I was able to have. Let's go back to the Francis list. The R stands for relatives. Can I tell you, students in the room, you have the ability to lead your family spiritually. Whoa, you have that ability, as I did. But it's because of what Jesus has done in my life that I'm here on this stage today. I'm literally living in the days that I prayed for. And so that's my story. It's not that difficult. I know my story better than you know my story. And you know your story more than the person sitting next to you knows your story. But it's important that you think through your story. What was your life like before Jesus? What was that encounter for you? And how is your life different? And if your life isn't different, let's talk. Because I question if you've really given your life to Jesus, which may be one of the hardest things that you hear today. When you give your life to Jesus, he transforms you from the inside out. And I'm not saying that when you give your life to Jesus, it's always up and to the right. That's not what I'm saying at all. Like, there are setbacks. This is a journey of highs and lows. In the low moment, I don't want you to think that you're not a Christian. But if constantly, from the moment that you've given your life to Jesus to now, that you have ran from him, if you have not been obedient to his word, I wonder if you've really given your life to Jesus. So maybe you hear that and you're like, yeah, that's great and all, but my story really isn't all that powerful. Can I tell you that God uses ordinary people with ordinary stories to go and do extraordinary things? Moses doubted himself. Peter denied Jesus. And then in John 4, you see this woman who says, come and see a man who told me everything that I ever did. Whoa. Imagine somebody knows every single detail of your life and you say those words. I probably would never say those words. Come and see this person that knows every single detail about you. Mind you, it's important to know the context of this story. This woman had a bunch of husbands. She was sleeping around. She's the woman at the well. She should be full of shame, but she says, come, see a man who told me everything that I ever did. And then in verse 39, it says that many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of her testimony. Other people believed in Jesus because of what God had done in her life. Jesus has changed my life. Listen to me, friends. He wants to change your life. And maybe you would tell yourself, yeah, I would share my story, but it's just not that powerful. I would tell you, I got caught into that trap many, 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 many times. Because as I just shared with you, I hadn't hit rock bottom when I came to Jesus. I didn't have this big crash and burn moment. If you can relate to that and saying, yeah, Jacob, I don't have a big crash and burn moment like said person, can I tell you, your story still matters because you were once dead, but now you've been made alive because of who Jesus is and what he has done for you. And can I tell you, that's the greatest miracle of all. Your story matters. Now, the flip side to that coin, if your story is filled with trauma and deep, deep pain and addiction, I want you to know that God can use that as well. Leverage your story in the name of Jesus. Here's the bottom line. If you are a follower of Jesus, you have a story worth sharing. If you are a follower of Jesus, you have a story worth sharing. So this week, I want to encourage you to take some time to write it down. Pen to paper. Because I think that for a lot of us, we've gone years of following Jesus. And I think that we can be forgetful of the things that God has done in our life. We can become forgetful of who we were before Jesus. We can become forgetful of that moment that we laid it all out to Jesus and said, Jesus, have your way in my life. I choose to follow you all the days of my life. That salvation moment. I want you to think through. Let's get back to the archives of your brain. Who were you before Jesus? What was that moment that you gave your life to him? And how is your life different? This week, I want to encourage you to write it down. If you're in small groups here at Grace River, at small groups, you will have the opportunity to pair up with somebody else in your small group. And I have this challenge that you share your story with each other, that you practice it, that you get familiar with your story. Because again, I think that for a lot of us, we become forgetful. And so I'm going to challenge you to share your story with somebody else in small group. But if you're not a part of small groups, think through your story and share it with your spouse. Share it with your kids. Familiarize yourself with it before you share it with your Francis list. And then I want to encourage you to take the time to come up with a 1, 3, and 5 minute version of your story. 1, 3, and 5 minutes. Because there's going to be some times where it's just a moment in passing that you're going to be able to share what God has done with your life. But then there's also going to be moments where you invite a neighbor over to your house and you prepare a meal for them. And you're going to have a bunch of time and you're going to be able to get into the details of the things that God has done for you. You don't want to stumble through your story. You want to be confident in the things that God has done in your life. Practice your story. That way you have the confidence to share it. I did this with my student leaders a couple semesters ago. And 9 of my student leaders, they leveraged their platform that they had on social media, and they reached over 30,000 people. I had 9 students that were terrified. They were scared. They had never done it. But they stepped out in faith, and they gave their 3-minute version of their story online, and 9 people reached 30,000 people. I don't say that to brag about myself. I don't say that to brag about them. I say that to brag on Jesus. Jesus has changed those people's lives. And you want to know why it reached so many people? Because we are people of story. It's how we relate to one another. When you share your story, I find moments where I can relate to you, and vice versa. So if you have a platform on social media, maybe that's a next step for you. You don't just share it with your Francis list, but you share it on social media and just watch what God could do in your life. When you share your story, what you do is you give somebody else permission to imagine that their story could change as well. Nobody can argue with what God has done in your life. They might doubt scripture, but they cannot doubt your transformation. They might doubt God, but they cannot doubt your transformation. Every time that I hear somebody's story, I'm reminded of something so great, that we serve a storytelling God. From the very beginning, he has been telling his story through people just like you and me. You look back at scripture and you see people like Abraham and Moses, Ruth, David, Peter, all of these people reflect God's honor and his grace and his power. Can I tell you, all of those people are dead and gone. Those people from the Bible times, they're gone. You know who he wants to tell his story through? You. He wants to advance his kingdom through you. So that means that your story is worth sharing. Don't keep it to yourself. Have the courage this week to share it with somebody. But here's also the thing. I can't talk about sharing your story without giving the people in this room that have yet to enter into a relationship with Jesus. I can't talk about sharing your story without giving those people the chance to begin theirs. Maybe you come in today and you recognize that you have yet to begin a relationship with Jesus. You've maybe heard about the things of God. Maybe you know the things of God. Maybe you've grown up in church, but you've yet to allow this head knowledge to transform into heart transformation. And you've never made that conscious decision to say, Jesus, I'm going to let you be the center of my life. Jesus, I'm going to allow you to come in and change everything. If that's you, I want you to slow down in this moment right here. I don't know the baggage that you came in carrying. I don't know the weight that rests heavy on your shoulders. I don't know your past. I don't know your mistakes. I don't know your failures, but God does. God sees every single thing about you, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And yet, he still chooses to love you. So much so that he sent his only son, Jesus, to come to this earth to live a perfect and sinless life. And he died a brutal death on a cross that he didn't deserve. And when I say that he died, I mean, he was dead. He wasn't halfway dead. There is belief out there that Jesus was never really dead. No, Jesus died. Dead. And he resurrects 3 days later. He did something that no other person in human history has ever done. He came, he lived this perfect and sinless life. He died a death on a cross that he didn't deserve, and he resurrected 3 days later so that you and I could be restored, so that you and I could have a relationship with him. Because you see, our sin has separated us from God. Your sin is great. My sin is great. And whenever I say great, I don't mean good, I mean big. Your sin is huge. My sin is huge. And my sin and your sin disconnects us from God. It has created a separation between us and God. But it's because of the shed blood of Jesus on that cross over 2,000 years ago that you and I can now be forgiven. That you and I get to enter into this relationship with Jesus. Listen to me, I don't know what your relationships here on this earth look like, but can I tell you that when you enter into a relationship with Jesus, it is not a relationship that is abusive, that is neglectful. It's not a relationship that is judgmental. This is a relationship that is full of mercy, grace, and forgiveness. Listen, Jesus has changed my life. And he wants to change your life as well. And so you're left with this decision that I was left with as a little fifth grade boy. Will you accept him or will you reject him? I would tell you, life with Jesus is far greater with him than it is without him. And when you come to Jesus, you don't have to clean your act up. It's when you come to Jesus that he changes who you are. I use this analogy on Thursday to our students, but if you had to clean yourself up before you came to Jesus, it would be like going, it would be like getting into peak physical health before going to the gym. You go to the gym to get healthier. You go to Jesus to get healthier. You go to Jesus to allow him to change you. You don't change yourself. So in this moment, you're left with this decision. Will you accept him or will you reject him? You, my friend, are worthy of his forgiveness. He loves you. He cares about you. He died for you. He died for me. Jesus has changed my life, and I have a story to share as a result. Christian in the room, if he has changed your life, you have a story to share, and it's time that you be bold in sharing it. But if you have yet to enter into this relationship with Jesus today, now, in this moment, is the time to do it. Don't let eternity hinge on a maybe. You're like, yeah, maybe I'm following God. Like, I think, I don't know. I hope. Get to heaven, and you're like, oh man, fingers crossed, did I make it? Don't let eternity hinge on a maybe. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? If today you're ready to begin your story with him, I wanna invite you to pray this prayer with me this morning. As I pray, I want you to pray these words in your heart. God is listening, he knows. It's about believing and receiving what God has done for you. It's not about achievement. Don't clean your act up before you come to him. Would you choose to make the conscious decision to believe and receive the good news of Jesus? If that's you today, would you pray this prayer with me? Jesus, today I give you my life. I admit that I've sinned and that I need you. I believe that you died on the cross for me, that you rose again so that I could be forgiven. Right now, I'm asking you to save me, to forgive me, to make me new. From this day forward, my story belongs to you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Let's give it up for those people that just said yes to Jesus. Come on. It's the greatest decision that you can ever make in this life, friends. People will fail you 10 out of 10 times. Your spouse will fail you. Your kids will fail you. Your coworkers will fail you. Can I tell you, Jesus will never fail you. It's the greatest relationship that you can develop. It's a journey, and it's a journey of highs and lows. So in this journey, don't go through it alone. As a church, we are committed to helping you in this journey. If you would, if you just said yes, text the word begin to the number on the screen. When you do that, one of the three pastors, me, Chris, or Paul, will reach out to you in the next 24 hours. We want to help give you some next steps so that way you don't approach this journey alone. We love you, but more importantly, God loves you. And we just want to say congratulations. Welcome to the family. You have a story and it's worth sharing. So if you would, stand with me this morning. As I mentioned, our missions trip, our missions team from the DR, they just got back. And I need you to know that missions trips here at Grace River are not possible if we are not a generous church. Thank you for being a generous church. Thank you for being so generous with your finances so that we could send 15 people, 17 people to the DR. Lives were changed in the DR, and our people's lives were changed as a result as well. So thank you. If you feel led to give today, you can do so in the offering drop box in the back, or you can scan the QR code in the seat back in front of you. Make sure you come back next week as we kick off a brand new series. I hope that you guys have an amazing week. Be blessed. In the name of Jesus, we love you.